Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG Pod Overflow, the Cinephobe Cold Opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
You said the OG Pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG Pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG Pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP, that's 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thank you.
good, y'all. What's up, boy?
Hey, man. I'm glad y'all won yesterday so we can get bum-ass Jason Garrett out of Dallas. It was the only time I've ever been happy to see Philadelphia win anything.
Nah, keep him one more year, good brother.
Fuck that.
Get that man an extension.
Fuck no. Jerry probably would, though. Just to keep a yes man on his staff.
I heard, who was it today? What's my man name? Dan Obzlas. I can't even say his last name.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. But
Orlovsky.
Yeah.
Orlovsky, thank
former
you.
Former backup quarterback.
Yo, my man straight said that they should hire Witten. Or he didn't say they should, but he said like Witten would be someone that they could look at. And I was just like, oh, please do that.
Witten was mad funny yesterday on the sidelines. Once the Eagles like kind of locked it up, he just went and started shaking everybody's hand. Like it was, I don't know if you guys saw that video, but he's like on the sideline, like shaking everybody's hand. Like, all right, thanks. Thank you. Thanks, man. I'll see you guys later. Like he's definitely retiring again. It was hilarious.
I'm good. Love. Enjoy.
For that real, man. Bro. He was shaking everybody's hand individually.
That man left a cushy ass analyst job with ESPN calling Monday Night Football to come back to go 8-8. It's like whatever his career
record was. He wasn't that good though.
No, he wasn't. Whatever his career record was beforehand, like his percentage didn't increase. He went 8-8. Like
tell him come back one more year, go 8-8 again.
Man, you know what? You can kiss my ass, dog. I'm sick and tired of this shit.
Oh, you've been sick and tired since like 96,
Justin, get out of that abusive relationship, man.
I can't. You don't know them like I do, all right?
I was with them for 20 years.
I know.
I left. I slid, bro. I couldn't do it no more. And even the team that I left for didn't even make the off. So, you know, it's all good. I went to, you know, I got a chance to see them live.
Dog, they did. At least you got the Rams. They cool. You got the Rams in L.A.?
Yeah, like, I mean, it was rightfully so to be rooting for an L.A. team anyway, though.
Yeah, no, I ain't mad at that because I'm damn sure not pulling for Washington. I don't care if I live in D.C. or not. I ain't doing that.
The Washington racist is crazy.
Yeah, the Washington racial slurs. That, no.
Welcome back to Black Opinions Matters, motherfucker. I'm your host, Black Trey. I'm joined by John Gervais, Rob Lopez on the ones and twos, and we have our special guest, Justin Tinsley. What's going on, Justin?
Hey, what's going on, brothers? Pleasure to be back here. I guess last show of the decade, right?
This is the last show of the decade, and if you guys have been tuning in, we have been talking nothing but music, and obviously music is such a vital, important part of our daily lives. You know, it was great to have Justin on as our specialist and could tap in without the old hair reviews from Jerv.
don't be ageist, yo.
I did want to say, though, as we are closing out here, and it's about, what, like a year and some change now that I'm producing the show, I did want to informally award Justin Tinsley as our bomb guest of the year. Would you guys agree? I mean, he's coming clutch for us. He's made hot tags coming in randomly for 15, 20 minutes.
It's always one hater in the group.
Nah, I just wanted to say as a producer, Tins, I appreciate it. You know, you've been gracious with your time with us and you know, your insight's always valued. So I appreciate you, man. Appreciate it. I'm happy we can get this last episode with you on it.
Hey man, y'all like family, man, for real. Like I love, you know, coming on this podcast. This is like one of the few podcasts where I feel like I can really, you know what I mean, just relax and just, you know, excuse my language, shoot the shit. You know, it just feels like I'm with family. So anytime I'm on this show, man, it's always love. So the feeling is definitely mutual.
Well, Justin, welcome back. And speaking of back, we're going to talk about comebacks. Now, four comebacks of the decade, we have a couple nominees and everyone's going to give their vote. And then we're going to agree or disagree. So for first best comeback, we have Nas, we have Jay-Z, we have A Tribe Called Quest, we have Missy Elliott, we have Gucci Mane, we have Jeezy, we have De La Soul, and then we also can cast an other vote. So Justin, I'm going to start with you.
You know, this was one of the, I guess, one of the categories where I kind of went back and forth on an answer, but my final answer would be Gucci Mane. And not to say that he had the best music out of all these people on this list, but I feel like in terms of where his life was and where his career was headed, I feel his life is in his career were in the most dire straits out of anybody on this list. You know, I feel like you could look at Jay-Z and say 444, which I believe is one of the best albums of his career. And it was definitely a strong album considering the 4-year layoff that he had between that and Magna Carta. Either way, like even if Jay never came out with 444, there's still a large contingent of the hip hop community and pop culture at large that would still consider him the greatest rapper of all time. So my vote goes to Gucci Mane, just considering where his life was before and how he's really turned his life around since he got out of prison. I believe it was about 3 or 4 years ago.
Jerv, who are you voting for?
You know, I always got to preference it by saying I know everybody just thinks I would vote for Big Homie, just on the strength. And I was sitting there trying to think, since it's the decade, I was trying to think what he's dropped during this decade other than 444, and then Tens hit me with the Magna Carta. Shout out to Amin for not being here because he would roast me because I fooled with Magna Carta. But I can't give it to him. Nas did come back kind of strong. Life is Good was a fucking amazing album. Mm-hmm. But then he kind of had, I'm not gonna call him duds, but he had that weird album with Kanye that just didn't live up to the hype, and that Lost Tapes too. it was cool. I got to echo what Ten said, man. Like, I ain't really the biggest Gucci fan, but considering where he was at, considering the moves he's made, and there's a large population that really, really fools with Gucci and feels like Gucci is, in my opinion, better than what he actually is. But no one else on this list, Jeezy's my guy, but nah, that Church album he put out was trash. Mm-hmm. So I probably got to go with Gucci on this one, man. Just by default, I want to give it to Hov, I really do, but I can't. I just can't give it to him. So I'm gonna go with Gucci on this one.
Okay, and Rob, who do you have as comeback of the decade?
The rap snob in me wants me to say Tribe, right? Like, I mean, you know, they came out, dropped that dope album, Rest in Peace, Fife. Obviously, that was a great, great, great comeback from them. But yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to go along with the guys as Gucci. I mean, just everything from where he was. And it's not like he came out and put out, like, trash music. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be different, like Jerv was saying with Nas is, you know, he had a strong album, but then he had some other kind of duds. And Jay's Magna Carta Holy Grail, it's up to interpretation, but he also did have, you know, Watch the Throne, which was early in the decade, and 444, which are great. But, you know, I also, and we could kind of transition to this too, Trey, as you give your opinion. I also thought Jay-Z was kind of most disappointing. And I talked on this a couple weeks ago. It's just like, it's not the same Jay-Z that, you know, we got used to, which is fine. I mean, you know, people grow and develop new styles, new flows all the time. You know, if you listen to Drake, who just did the Rap Radar Rap Radar with Ellie Wilson?
Mm-hmm. Rap Radar, yeah.
He's talking about how, you know, people are always up his butt and complaining about, like, oh, you biting this, you doing this, you biting this style and stuff. And Drake's just like, what do you want me to just keep doing the same shit? I mean, you know, like what's that? That's not going to drive anything. You know, he knows. And it's the same thing with Jay. You know, he knows what works. And then he's like, you know what? I'm going to try this out. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But yeah, I mean, I just think on a personal and a professional standpoint, I think it has to be Gucci Mane. And I think it's kind of too simple to kind of pick it. I feel like somebody else should be in this. But yeah, I mean, Gucci had a strong decade overall.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the unanimous sweep and say Gucci Mane as well. He is the greatest hip-hop A&R of our decade. He gave us Nicki Minaj. He gave us Young Thug. He gave us the Migos. Man, we can go down the line. Yes.
Gucci gets credited with Nicki?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He was co-signing her before she was on Young Money.
Oh,
like, so, mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, I don't even have to say too much even about his music. I mean, I don't really listen to the latest Gucci, but I was all in early on, and I think that even if he dudded out in the last 2 years, it still won't discredit, you know what I mean, the comeback of his hardships of going to prison and, you know, breaking his lean habit and becoming a health nut pretty much, and living his best life, you know what I mean, and being able to still reap the benefits Puff Daddy style with these artists' contracts that he signed. You got some guys on some contracts on top of contracts on top of contracts.
He really is the Zone 6 Berry Gordy, huh? Now that you mention it like that, he founded a lot of people. Waka Flocka, who obviously in recent years hasn't, you know, put out anything, but I think a lot of people forget, especially at the turn of like this decade from like 09 into 2010, even into 2011, like Waka Flocka was a huge star. Like Flockavelli is still one of my favorite like gym albums to this day. I mean, that album had like 16 songs on there, and I think like 9 of them were singles, like bona fide singles too. Like, and so Gucci's ear, and when I look at this category, and Rob, you kind of alluded to it earlier. Like, if we're just talking like straight music, then yeah, I would give it to somebody like a Tribe Called Quest, because what they released earlier this decade was a really, really great project. But just in terms of an overall comeback, yeah, I think the group, granted, I made the decision as well, but I think the group made the solid decision to pick Gucci. I don't know if there's anybody else you could pick when taking into account, like, in the booth and outside of the booth.
Do you guys, let me ask you, since we're on the topic of Gucci, he's a volume shooter, safe to mm-hmm. say. Do you guys like that? Do you guys like when dudes are putting out, you know, like 5 mixtapes, albums a year, mad singles, and maybe like 2-3 songs pop off? Or like, are you guys more like, let me wait, like a Kendrick type, you know what I'm saying? Like once every 2 years, or Jay once every, you know, 4 or 5 years or whatever.
But Jay just got onto that once every 4 or 5 years thing, right? Like Jay used to drop every November, I think, or September or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you know, Rob, you know my answer, dude. I'm always for the bars. I respect quality over quantity. I think, and I know Lil Wayne is, you know, some people's greatest rapper, you know, whatever, whatever. But I think Wayne did a lot of cats a disservice during that summer, or that not even summer, whatever that year or two span where he was just on everything, killing everything, had the Juelz mixtapes, had this mixtape, you know what I mean, had all these different mixtapes. But the thing was, Wayne was giving you content. Wayne was killing stuff, you know what I mean? I mean, some might say he shot his load and he poured out everything he had in his arsenal during that time. So I think a lot of people now see that, a lot of these artists now see that, and they do it, right? Like, they just want to stay relevant. And I get why you want to stay relevant, but for me, I'd rather you put out less work and just have it be quality work than put out something every couple weeks or every couple months or whatever the case may be. And it just, and some of it just be not even hit or miss. Some of it is just a flat out miss.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm the same way too. I would prefer quality over quantity. I think that should be the case in most aspects of life. But you know, just some artists, you know, I guess it just works for them. You know, I remember there was a point in time in like the late 2000s, before the turn of the decade, like Gucci released like some exorbitant amount of mixtapes in like 2008, 2009, which are like 6 tapes in a year. And within those 6 tapes, there was a lot of bangers, but you know, you had to sift through a lot of music to get to those bangers. But I think that was just more so, you know, Jerv just mentioned Lil Wayne. Now, granted, not everybody can do what Wayne did, but I think Gucci tapped into a sweet spot because, one, his story, and, you know, this is par for the course in hip hop. You can say it's a good thing, you can say it's a bad thing, and I guess the answer is somewhere in the middle. But I think Gucci's story was so believable that, you know, even the stuff that he talked about in his music, it kind of felt like, okay, well, I mean, he's releasing a lot of this stuff, but it's also, you know, this is his life. And it wasn't just him rapping on stuff. It would be OJ the Juice Man on certain things. It would be Nicki on certain things. It would be Waka on certain things. And like, you know, Trey was alluding to it as well. You had Migos, you had Chief Keef, you had Waka, whoever the case may be. Like, if in Gucci's case, he dropped a lot of music, but he also kind of differentiated the sound in the case because it wasn't always him. He was always introducing a new sound, even if it sounded like him, but it was a new voice. And I think that's what allowed Gucci to tap into a lot of different things. And that's why it worked for him, but it does not work for everybody else. And me personally, I much rather prefer, like, hey, you know, it's like with Kendrick. Kendrick hadn't released an official solo album. Granted, he did the Black Panther soundtrack, but he hadn't done an official solo album since Damn. And I think that was 2017. And here it is. It's about to be 2020. But I'm fine with waiting because I understand that if you can deliver quality constantly, it definitely supersedes quantity, if that makes sense.
All right. So someone mentioned, I think it was Justin that mentioned Lil Wayne. He is a part of our most disappointing. So I'm going to read off our nominees for that. Most disappointed of the decade. We have Nas. We have Fabulous. We have Jadakiss. We have Eminem. We have Lil Wayne. And we have Jay-Z. Jer, I'm going to start with you. Who was the most disappointing of those nominees of the decade?
Damn, the decade. That's tough. When did Wayne come home?
2010, like late 2010.
All right, then I think, you know me, Trey. The Fab that's on this list, that's not my Fab. He's been disappointed for some years. Hov dropped 444, so it can't be him. Nas had Life is Good, so it can't be him. I might be the biggest Kiss fan on this pod, but Kiss hasn't been Kiss for some years. I think it's got. I'm not even going to get into Eminem, you know what I mean? Because I don't want Jade just to come out of nowhere and attack me for disrespecting Eminem. Everybody knows how I feel about him. It's got to be Wayne, man. Like, to me, I don't promote drug usage, you know what I'm saying? Not these pills, not Lady Heron, none of this stuff that these kids is out here doing. Wayne had a whole, he sparked a whole genre of rap where these youngins is doing this and doing that. But unfortunately, and I don't mean this to be funny, but like Wayne kind of needs that shit to be thorough, it seems like, to me, right? Like, to me, Wayne has been trash since he's came home. And I forget who was, that tweeted this out on Twitter. Tweeted this out on Twitter. Someone that put this on Twitter right when the Maybach music John got leaked and Wayne came out with his verse and then they took Push John off. I think it was Corey, Jazzy Jeff's son. I think he tweeted out something saying, it's sad when you realize that your favorite rapper is washed. Like, I feel like Wayne's washed, dude. Like, I mean, Trey, I know you might hit me with a couple of things that he might have had over the year, over the last couple of years, you know what I'm saying? You know, we just gonna have to agree to disagree on them joints. But to me, Wayne's been trash since he's come home, bruh. And I mean, by far, he's the most disappointing person because, like, I remember seeing Wayne at, I think it was the Hov and Mary J. Blige show in New York. Me and my homies traveled up there to see that joint. And it was the day before Wayne went home and big homie brought him out on stage. And, you know, homies and I, we took the mega bus up on the way back. We had a conversation. My man strictly said, yo, Wayne is the next greatest thing in hip hop. Like, he is him. It's all about him now. And at that point in time, Wayne was killing it. Right. He goes to jail, comes home. And damn, like, if that nigga, if he didn't sound like some, if he didn't seem like a homie that just came home and was still like still stuck in the 80s, you know what I mean? Like, you know how your homie comes home from jail and he's living in whatever decade that he went away, you know, for rightful reasons. It seemed like Wayne's flow, like, just, I don't know. It just seems washed. His protege outpassed him. I mean, all his proteges outpassed him. You know what I mean? And shout out to him for getting that money. But Wayne has not been nice to me since he's going to jail. Literally. I'm on some, what did 50 say? What's the last Cameron joint you liked anyway? What's the last Wayne joint you liked anyway? I can't remember the last Wayne album, last Wayne song that I really was on other than that, the intro he had on, not the intro, the Swiss Beats track that he had on the Swiss Beats album. Not the shit that he did for his album. But the verse he had on the Swiss Beats album was actually all right. other than that, I can't tell you one thing I like for Wayne this decade, I think.
Well, damn, Jerv. Hashtag not my Wayne. Okay.
Let me ask you this, though. Does the recent Jay-Z NFL stuff, because that's part of the reason why I put him there, because if you want to talk Gucci and his, I guess you could say, off the court recovery comeback, you know, Jay's moving kind of weird with the NFL stuff. Did you even factor that in at all for you?
Nah, I mean, with the whole stuff, man,
it's still really recent, to be fair, you know, in the grand scheme of the decade.
And I mean, not to go off on a real tangent, I know that Twitter and Naomi Timms, you might even have something on this. I still got to see how this plays out. I think that I really thought that he had something up his sleeve. I really thought that the whole Cap getting the workout, even though I knew it was bullshit, I thought one thing. And then when Cap gave his speech, I felt a different way. So I really don't know what to feel about Hove with the NFL, to be honest with you. It's kind of like when your parents get divorced and you don't want to choose sides. Like, I'm right there with it right now. Like, I don't want to choose sides. I know the NFL is bullshit. I mean, I still watch Go Birds. But you know what I mean? Like, I can't judge him yet on that. I still got to give that a little more time to play out. And even if it doesn't play out the way I want it to play out, I mean, shit, Wayne's been that trash, dude. Like, he's not Hove had hits over this decade. Wayne had nothing over this decade other than getting his money from Baby, which shout out to him for.
Whew. All right, Justin, you still up? My man was long-winded today. So,
No. I'm not going to name the same person that Jerv did, but I mean, he gave a compelling argument. I mean, I think anybody who's a Wayne fan and who really like came to like love Lil Wayne, not even just in the old school like early Cash Money days with the Hot Boys and 500 Degrees and all that type of stuff. Like, yeah, Wayne this decade, it's been hard to watch at times. And some of the times it's been out of his control because of the whole label situation. But if I have to name a name, and it sucks because he dropped a hot album. But for me, after that, I wasn't intrigued by anything that he did. And the answer is Nas. The answer is Nas. Like, Life is Good is a damn good album. I can't deny that. But everything after that, because there was the 4-year gap in between albums. And there was that, you know, people were saying the next Nas album was done over the course of years. I think Khaled was saying it for a while. Nas was teasing it for a little bit. And then, you know, when you have a Nas album that's going to be executively produced by somebody like Kanye West, even if it is Kanye in 2018 or whenever that was, you expect it to be something that sticks to the ribs. And like, honestly, I listened to the album 3 or 4 times, not because I wanted to listen 3 or 4 times, but I listened because I was like, all right, something is going to stick. And nothing stuck out to me. And then on the Lost Tapes too, you know, something stuck out to me. So like, if Nas is pretty much considered like universally a top 5 rapper of all time, this decade did nothing to bolster that. Yes, he had a good first quarter, but after that first quarter, like, he dropped 20 in the first quarter and then finished with 26 for the game. You know what I mean? At least with Wayne, I could be like, all right, well, yeah, his musical output, at least in terms of his albums, I was not a fan of the Carter Four. The I'm Not a Human Being 2 came and went. I did like Carter Five because I felt like if you listen to the theme of the album, it was a redemption album. But at the end of the day, if we're talking about music, like we talk about sports, like Lil Wayne has the biggest assist of the decade, and that's Drake. You can hear the way Drake talked about Lil Wayne in the Rap Radar interview. He has a lifelong, like, eternal loyalty to this man, because he saw what he did in the 2000s, and obviously it didn't work for him in the 2010s because, you know, life was just different for Wayne at that point in terms of, you know, the scene. He was only gone for a couple of months. I think he went in early 2010 and he got out by late 2010. But by the time he got out, Drake had already dropped Thank Me Later. He was like this. He was a bigger superstar than what he was before he went in. But I will give Wayne that credit of having like the biggest assist of the decade, because that assist turned out to be, at least just looking from the numbers and the stats, it's the biggest artist of the decade. Like, I don't know what is Nas giving us. Again, Life Is Good is, it was a really good album, but I just don't think he's given anything that warrants like that top five status this decade.
Y'all are shoveling dirt on Dwayne Michael Carter. It should be Eminem. Are you kidding me right now? No, listen. That from that freestyle at the awards and that bullshit ass parking structure to those two albums that really were bad to his bad features, I wish he would go away. And I'm at the point, I'm shocked that y'all are not rolling with Lil Wayne. Carter 5 was finished in, 2014 and still playable in this era. So, and like you said, you know, Wayne has some solid features, but he hasn't worked on anything new for him to even be considered or catch the slander like he should. He's had great features with Tyler, the Creator. He's had great features with Swiss Beatz and anybody else that he's hopped on a track with. He hasn't got washed yet. So I'm curious.
Washed on that Rick Ross track, but they took Push Verse off. But I mean, I got you.
I mean, for me to be disappointed in Eminem means I had expectations for Eminem coming into the decade, and I didn't.
Nah, but I'm just saying in general. I mean, if that's Eminem, Eminem is GOAT to some people.
That's fair enough.
And if you are GOAT to some people, you need to bring it. Anytime Andre 3000 raps, I expect Andre 3000 to bring it. If not, stay out the booth. And for this guy to be one of the God MCs, he needs to bring it. He can't just take a lap just because he has a cult following and is going to do numbers by default.
I mean, in full disclosure, I did not consider Wayne's assist with just like Nicki and Dre, you know what I mean? Because you can't discredit Nicki.
Right.
Also, I mean, I know Gucci. I mean, I know y'all put me on. Gucci is the founder. But you know, like she was Young Money. Wayne took her from being what she was with Gucci to, you know, the biggest female hip hop act in the world for a couple years, right?
Absolutely.
So I mean, I am probably shitting on Wayne just a little too much, but. I mean, Wayne was my guy for a little bit, dude. Like, I really fucked with Wayne heavy. I think the reason I didn't say M, to be honest with you, Trey, you did make a good point. I didn't even realize that M had two albums. Second of all, that fucking freestyle, you're right. Everybody was hype, and I was just like, did I miss something? You know what I mean?
The only person that loved that was Jay.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Yeah, I guess I was just with tens. Like I didn't have any expectations for M, but I'm with you. Like you're right, Trey. Like if you supposed to be one of the legendary dudes of hip hop, right? Like you on some Mount Rushmore as hell. There are some people that are delusional and think that you might be a top dude, the top dude ever, right? And so if you're in that status, you should probably have to bring it, but I guess I've just been checked out on M for so long now that, like, I mean, shit, I don't even check for M. I still check for Wayne because I did fool with Wayne for a little bit, and I do listen, and I go, damn, maybe this is it, right? Like, this is the album. This is the verse. And it's just never there. So I guess for me, that's why he's more disappointing, because I'm still holding on for hope. Right, like Nas, like Tenz, you said with Nas, like I'm not the biggest Nas dude, right? I respect him. He's one of the greatest ever. You know what I mean? There's no question on which side I took when it was Hov versus Nas, right? So you know what I mean? So he started off great, but he dwindled. I just don't think, if we're just talking about the music, I don't think Wayne had anything during the decade other than some features. And for a person that he dropped what? He had four albums come out this decade? And I understand, Trey, you're saying Carter 5.
Not even including his mixtapes too, Jerv. Like No Ceilings and everything.
Like he's had a million things come out this decade. And Trey, I mean, I'll give you it. Carter 5 was written in 2014. That's dope. that it could still come out now. But to me, like, it's not a timeless album, right? Like, that's what's up. It was written in 14, but it sucked in 19 when it dropped, or 18 when it dropped. It probably would have sucked in 14 when it dropped too, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I won't change my answer. I'm still sticking with Nas, but, you know, Trey, I mean, you did allude to something. If I'm going to sit here and would be like, well, if Eminem is considered, if Nas is considered like this, you know, for the most part, this GOAT that many people consider him to be, and which he is, then I have to use that same type of grading scale for Eminem. Again, honestly, everything after, I believe, maybe what, the Eminem show, and maybe the album, like right after that, the one that had like Toy Soldiers on there, I like that song. But everything after that, I just really wasn't checking for him. I did like the Recovery album. I think that came out like 2009. But I really stopped checking for him a long time ago. That's not to discredit what he is in terms of like his all time lineage, but I just wasn't checking for him. So for me, I can't be disappointed in something that I didn't have expectations in going into the decade with. Now, granted, he had that big song with Rihanna at the start of the decade, was it Love the Way You Lie. But other than that, I think Love the Way You Lie may have been his pinnacle moment of the decade, and I just didn't care. But I gotta grade everything on the same grading scale, or run the risk of being a hypocrite. So I hear what you're saying, but I'm still sticking with my answer with Nas. But you do bring up a valid point.
All right, Rob, round it out.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what Trey's saying, actually. I think it's Eminem for not only one. You want to talk about somebody who's stuck in their ways. I mean, geez, dude, like, how many times are we going to get the same flow that you had in 98, number one? Number two, I don't remember a big song from him this decade. I just don't. He got washed by, what's his name, Machine Gun Kelly, when they were going back and forth. Like, Machine Gun Kelly complete. And I don't even like him like that, and he just completely eviscerated Eminem, which is crazy. And three, you know, we could kind of bunch this into not only Eminem but Shady Records. I mean, what you want to talk about putting people on? What did he do with Slaughterhouse? You know, like what? Like, Slaughterhouse had a good album, but I mean, damn, he had four great rappers on under his label. And say what you want about Yellow Wolf. Yellow Wolf's kind of dope too, and he had him under his label too, and didn't really do anything with any of them. I just think overall it was just a really bad decade for Eminem, somebody who's trying to cling to relevancy, which is sad because, you know, he is. I mean, if you just want to consider his prime stuff, he is top 10 easily, and he's kind of tarnished his reputation, I think, the last couple of years, especially with the Slaughterhouse stuff and Shady Records. Like, look at everybody else built, you know, Kanye with Good Music, Lil Wayne with Young Money. I mean, name your big Jay-Z, Roc Nation, name your big influential rapper, and 9 times out of 10, they're putting somebody on. Let's see what he does with Griselda. I mean, I hope the best.
No, it's just crazy to like look at Eminem now, and like, you remember at the turn of the century, like, Eminem was the biggest artist in the world. Like, he couldn't.
Oh, dude, he was headlining TRL. He was number one Billboard, easy. Man,
granted, 20 years is a long time. A lot could happen in 20 years. But yeah, again, y'all make valid points for him. Again, I'm still sticking with my original choice, but I can't say that y'all are wrong on anything that y'all have said on Eminem thus far.
I'm not going to fault him for Slaughterhouse, just to piggyback on what you said, Rob, only because I think Slaughterhouse is dope. But I think they have a very specific market, a very specific following. And I think that they just, it's for as dope as they are lyrically, they're not the cats that are not going to blow, right? They're not going to be mainstream artists. They don't have those type of songs. They don't have that type of flow. You know what I mean? I know it's irrelevant, but I can't fault them for Slaughterhouse. Shit, Cat's been trying to pump Joe Buttons for years.
Well, still though, Joe Budden was still like one of the biggest names in hip hop, you know,
but nobody, just coming but into nobody's the decade. Been, no one's ever been able to market Buttons the right way, right? Like, nobody has. No matter where Buttons goes, he's still getting the same type of following. Royce the 5'9", fucking what's my main name?
Joel Ortiz. Yeah. But yeah, I'm faulting M for that though. I'm going to still fault him for that, because look, you're bringing on somebody that, number one, you're believing in as a supergroup, right? Like this was touted as a supergroup. Royce, Joel, Buddy, you know, this is a supergroup. This is supposed to be your headlining group here for your group. You know, you got the whole BET freestyle with all of them, which Eminem was actually not bad on that one, but the rest of them, he was kind of garbage. But the one with Shady Records was good, and he didn't do anything with them. I mean, like, I get it that, like, you know, it's really hard to market these kind of, you know, maybe rappity rap or kind of grimy rap type dudes. But at the same time, you know, you're Eminem, you know what I'm saying? Like, you were rapping about, you know, sticking whatever, a pickle up something, you know what I'm saying? Like, you made it happen doing some crazy shit. You can't do it with these four dudes who are very good at what they do.
You got beef with Nick Cannon.
Yeah, and like that shit right now, like, ugh. Let's move on, Trey. What do we got?
Fucking Nick Cannon.
All right, the next thing that we got, lastly, is One Album Wonders. Album Wonders.
And for clarification here, too, like, I know some people are going to be like, oh, what do you put out this and this and this? I'm just really kind of honing in on that one big major project that kind of skyrocketed into the moon. And for one reason or another, we're not hearing from this person right now.
All right, so we have TK, The Race, Designer, Panda, Bobby Smurda, Hot Nigga, Tekashi 6ix9ine, Gummo. Justin, start us off.
Oh, man, I believe, for me, there's only one answer. It's Bobby Smurda. I think, because had it not been, and it's wild because three of the four names you named in here all had like legal ramifications come back and haunt them. But in terms of who I enjoyed the most out of this list is definitely Smurda. Like, Hot Nigga in 2014, that was like, you couldn't go anywhere without hearing that song. And that I saw potential in Bobby Smurda to really breathe life back into New York hip hop, but really just give them like a sound for the 2010s that, you know, there have been artists before. And obviously, you know, with the whole Griselda click now at the end of the decade, that are kind of like restoring like that feeling. Like I believe Bobby Smurda.
Pop Smoke too is kind of like that right now from New York to your
Pop
point.
Pop Smoke. Yep. You're right. Yeah. My apologies for omitting him. But I have to say Bobby Smurda, man, like, because that song, that is, when I think about like the biggest songs of the decade, and maybe not just from like a Billboard or streaming perspective, but songs that really like permeated and like infiltrated the culture and really caused a moment, like that is one song that did it. And I do believe Bobby Smurda had musical talent. I'm always still weirded out by that video of him performing in that room with all those like music executives, and it just got a whole like minstrel show type feeling. But if I had to pick one from that list, the my favorite one hit wonder, of course, I'm definitely going Bobby Smurda, man. And I don't know if he'll be able to revive his career. I keep hearing, you know, he'll be getting out soon. But then again, you know, every person is locked up, swear they're getting out soon. You know what I mean? So I don't know, but I really do believe that was a career that was cut short that could have been. And granted, it was, you know, partially his own doing as well. But I really believe he had something special with that, with his career that got cut short because, you know, he couldn't leave the streets alone.
Jerv, I know you don't even listen to
nothing. I don't even know who TK is, so I can't vote for dude. I refuse to vote for Panda dude. You know, shout out to him for making a fucking hook into a song. And I'm not even mentioning the rap boy. so I'm with you, Tens. Bobby Smurda. I went to, what's it called, Caravana in mm-hmm. Toronto. I was in Toronto when that actually dropped. Well, I mean, the first time I ever heard it was at Caravana in Toronto, right? Like, I was at one of the, I thought it might have been at LeBron's party or some shit like that. One of them, whoever had a party. And I just saw it come on, and everybody, when I tell you everybody in this shit was bouncing. I mean, the biggest dope dealers in the world were probably there, just the way everybody was acting, and they was all just grooving, and you couldn't tell me that this young boy was not about to be it. It's a sad story, You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I know, not trying to belittle what it was that happened, but, you know, it sucks that it had to go down like that. So I really did want to see where it was going to happen. I don't know if he was about to be a star or anything like that, but I mean, shit, he had a chance. He had a sound, and I mean, shit, he had what the youngins like. He had a sound and he had a dance. Mm-hmm. Even though it was Diddy's dance, but you know, young boys don't care. You know, just take our old shit like we did when I was young. We took all my parents' shit and made it into our shit, and that's what they doing now. And that was love, you know what I mean? So for me, it's Bobby Schmurder. It's not even a question. Dude had a chance to be everything, and you know, unfortunate things happen, and made that not possible. But I just refuse to vote for the other dude and designer. I mean, I don't want to hear that shit. So, and I don't know who Tay K is. So it's gotta be Bobby Schmurder for me.
I'm gonna go with Block Boy JB, and just because
that's a good
his
choice.
Dance, his that's dance just I'm went crazy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, to a point where he got finessed by a video game company. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in one of the hottest songs of the decade with Drake. When you think about it, and yeah, I don't think we're going to hear too much from him again, but it was a fun time when that song rolled out.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with Schmurda to your guys' point. And the craziest thing is that like this song, if y'all got a chance at home, anybody listening or even anybody on the panel, listen to Jahlil Beats, the making of this beat. And this song was originally made for Lloyd Banks in 2012. Lloyd Banks had this beat and it just didn't hit. And there was something about Bobby. I think it's the dance. I think it's, you know, throwing your hats up in the air. I mean, you know how many white people on golf courses were probably throwing their hats up in the air and doing whatever, like just like acting stupid. You know what I'm saying? Like this song was huge. This song was, I mean, New York. I hadn't seen New York like that since 50 Cent dropped I Get Money. And when 07, whenever that was, 07, 08, when I Get Money came out, I mean, New York was crazy. And now Bobby Schmurda, when he does that, and now same thing, like I said before, with Pop Smoke and Welcome to the Party, like that song is huge in New York right now. But yeah, Bobby Schmurda, and it was just like the one project, right? Because he came out with a couple other like singles and like, but eventually put that song on an album.
Hey, I don't Rob, even know. You love Pop Smoke.
Yo, he's good, bro. He's good.
Hey, you I really could. Hey, you is. Really could run a Pop Smoke fan account.
Pop Smoke, Pop Smoke is next, bro. Watch.
Like
he's,
you
he's
and
good.
Waz really bang with Pop Smoke, and that's like so funny. But I'm not mad at Pop Smoke because he's on Cactus Jack's new compilation and the Jack Boys, and he fit in pretty well.
Yeah, what do you guys, before we get out of here, what do you guys think about that? I gave it a couple spins. I like it.
Pop Smoke?
I don't know what it is.
Jack Boys, the Travis Scott compilation.
I gave it a spin when it dropped the other night. I think it dropped the same night as like the Drake interview, so it kind of got like, you know what I mean, pushed to the back burner because, I mean, of course, anything Drake's on, he's going to get top billing. I like some, it was seven songs. I like some songs on there. It didn't really move me like that. But again, to be fair, I got to go back and listen. I really got to give it like the gym listen. I got to give it the car listen. I hate judging stuff based off how it sounds on like my computer speakers. I won't give it that. But as of right now, I reserve the right to change my opinion on it. But as of right now, it didn't do anything for me. So,
yeah, I mean, it's pretty much EP shit. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Travis is a part of, you know, he did one with, you know, 21. He did Metro Boomin. He did one with Quavo. Like, just those EPs, they don't really have like long play time, but they give you a quick fix for a week or two. And I think that's what this serves as a good sample size until something else rolls out. But also introducing the world to Don Toliver, who's like one of my favorite new hot artists. Yeah. He was on Astroworld and, you know, he got some loose tracks out here on the streaming platforms that I'm really rocking with right now. So, you could take what you can take from it. I mean, obviously, like I said, we're much older, so Travis Scott didn't save our lives. Like Kid Cudi saved his life. And we listen, we're more well-rounded in our music to just kind of go all in with that type of style of music. But yeah, I'm pretty sure for the younger generation, it's everything to them.
Oh yeah, I bet.
Yeah, I don't even know Pop Smoke is, so my bad.
Yeah, I mean, I personally don't expect you to like even know any of these cats that we just mentioned.
2020, we're putting Jerv on to new music in 2020.
Trey, just text me music, bro, and I'll check it out.
Yeah, I send it over, man. I feel like I'm just like this wacky ass A&R man that's just trying to get like trying to convert niggas, but it's cool, bro. Like it's all good, man. Well, Justin, man, I know you got to get out of here, brother. We appreciate you, man. You know you are our favorite third cousin. Hey. Coming on the pod, bro.
Hey, man, the pleasure is all mine. I love talking about music, love talking about sports, man. We've had some classic episodes over the course of this decade, man, and I look forward to a ton more. And I'm just happy. You know, I didn't have to cuss Amin out today. Wherever Amin is, I love you, bro. But I'm glad I didn't have to cuss you out on this podcast today, because you always know how to get under my skin. But y'all have like the greatest podcast running, bro, man. And it's just an honor and a privilege to be, you know, a satellite figure with this family, man. Seriously.
Tupac's overrated.
Appreciate that, big dog. Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth, old head. Here we go. Also, first off, I want to say happy belated to our guy, Jerv. You know what I'm saying? My man is almost 40. You know what I mean?
Appreciate you.
You know, big dog. You know what I'm saying? We definitely got to show you, you know, shout you out on that. Obviously, you guys caught the flyer that's been rolling out. We're going to New York, Brooklyn, ooh, to be buddy. Exact. March 28th, 2020. Oh. Sounds crazy saying that already. But it's going to be at the Bell House. If you went to Brooklyn last year, we went to the Bell House and we turned that thing out. We're going to have better guests. We're going to have a better experience and more surprises. Make sure you guys stay on the lookout for the link to buy pre-order. And, you know, obviously our solid dudes and Patreons will get first access. So you need to jump on that so you don't miss this jet ho. Also, Happy New Year to the folks, since this is our last podcast of the decade before we responsibly go into 2020. And also, get well soon. I mean, he not dying, but he just sick. DMP Waz, shout-outs to Rob for holding us down this past year. Shouts to all our guests that's been on this last month and throughout the year. And man, we thank you all for your support, man. This has been a Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker.